When infrastructure is vulnerable to hackers, we pay. I'm David Brancaccio. Let's update the cyber attack on a gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel pipeline that gets the stuff from the Texas Gulf Coast to New York. It is still off. Marketplace's Andy Euler joins us now from Texas. What do we know?
So Colonial said in a pretty vague statement over the weekend that it was the victim of a ransomware attack. Now, that's where hackers get access to a company's data and demand a ransom. Now, in this case, the group froze the pipeline's data on some servers and asked for money on Friday. This is just the latest attack, though, on critical infrastructure, much of which is outdated, the improving of which is something the Biden administration admits is a problem that needs to be addressed.
And what about fuel prices?
That's the thing. Gasoline futures were up more than 4% in Asian trading today, but many experts say gasoline prices for Americans shouldn't rise significantly unless the pipeline is shut down for much longer. But now that's the thing. This is sort of ongoing so far this morning. Like you said, the pipeline's still not running like normal. Bloomberg is also reporting that traders are preparing for the worst. Some tankers are being secured to temporarily store gasoline in the Gulf Coast in case this shutdown persists. Now, Colonial Pipeline is a privately owned company that can be vague. They're based in Alpharetta, Georgia. It's owned by several American and foreign companies and investment firms, including Koch Industries and Royal Dutch Shell.
Andy Euler in Austin, thank you very much. With more vaccinations, employers are running into a key workplace culture issue: when to tell the troops to come back. Google, Twitter, and Microsoft are more okay with working amphibiously, as one of my pals calls it, some home, some office. But the heads of JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs are not loving so many people remoting in, and the chief executive of the firm that publishes Washingtonian Magazine wrote an opinion piece last week saying it's tempting to fire employees who only want to come in once in a while, and the staff of Washingtonian consequently refused to do any publishing online on Friday in response. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has an update on just where we work.
Most executives and workers say they prefer a mix of remote and in-person work, says Bhushan Sethi with business services firm PwC. But
we are seeing a disconnect in terms of what executives, employers are looking for versus employees.
PwC surveys found leaders favor more frequent office time and sooner than workers did. He says many top managers want to strengthen company culture and collaboration with in-person interactions. But a lot of workers don't want to give up their newfound flexibility, says Harvard business professor Sadal Neely.
It's a critical mass. Their culture, as they've known it, has changed. People, individuals have changed.
She says company leaders could end up doing more damage to their cultures by imposing back-to-work plans without listening to employee concerns. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
S&P futures are up just slightly. The NASDAQ future is down almost 0.4%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In many parts of the country, the real estate market was already tight amid pandemic low interest rates. With vaccinations and spring weather, the open houses are in full swing. And from the seller's point of view, there's lots of delightful cash offers, bidding wars, houses selling as is. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, there are some encouraging signs for those looking to buy.
Wes Chernin and Eliza Kinrose started shopping for a house in Portland, Oregon last September, and by the time their lease expired in November, they still hadn't found one.
We've been doing month-to-month Airbnbs for the past, 6 months, I think.
Yeah. Then a couple weeks ago, after more than 60 home tours and 7 failed bids, they finally got a house.
It's sort of a small but very cute little, quintessential Portland bungalow. We shed some tears when we found out we got it.
price, $435,000. They went in over asking, and it worked. No bidding war. Their broker, Brad Twiss, thinks the market might be loosening up, at least in Portland.
We're seeing more listings, and not only that, but we're seeing buyers get a little bit more power back.
In the past month, he's had offers accepted that weren't the highest, but had better terms.
And Wes and Eliza, it's like we got a closing cost credit for some repairs. I don't know the last time we did that. It does feel promising.
There's some data to back him up. Zillow recently reported that overall inventory nationally was down just over 1% in March, compared to drops of around 8% in January and February. And economist Matt Speakman says new listings were up 30%.
So, you know, that does indicate that sellers are growing more confident. There is sort of an increasing propensity to list your home.
And in the coming months, as people find out what their post-pandemic work lives are going to look like, Daryl Fairweather, chief economist at Redfin, says more of them may be willing to move.
That's going to give people more confidence to buy a home because they're just going to know what that home should be like for their future.
But unless a whole lot more homes come onto the market,
whatever comes up for sale will just get snapped up.
That's Mark Fleming, chief economist with First American.
Buy. Largely the millennial first-time home buyer who hasn't lost their job, thankfully, in the pandemic and is trying to capture a 3.5% or lower mortgage rate with all of that buying power.
And until mortgage rates go up, he doesn't see that changing. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The money news never sleeps, nor does Mr. Rizdahl in his quest to get it to you. Listen for Kai later today to get today's developments in workplace culture, innovation, and markets on many public radio stations, right? Or a press or a click away at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.